the Lord's grace to protect us, to nourish us. May we all study together. May our studies be brilliant. May we not misunderstand each other. Om, peace, peace, peace. I think we have been studying the book called Bhakti Sudha. It's a book on devotion, nectar of devotion. Bhakti is devotion and nectar of devotion. And I think you did last week the qualification of other paths, that what are the other four paths to reach the Lord. So, you know, so we are doing the, I think, stanza number 11. So you can look at that one. So how bhakti, he has mentioned the other path, the qualification that you need. In path of devotion, you need qualification, like you have to be, you have to have a good intellect, you have to have logical mind, and you have to have detachment. Whereas in the path of yoga, you have to have good physical body, and you should have, you know, persistence to do the yoga. And then in the path of karma, you have to know the rituals, you have to do selfless service. And then, whereas in the path of love, there is, it is open to all, there is no skill needed, there is everyone is welcome. There's no that you don't have the qualification. So everybody can practice that. And even the sinners, you know, that will come in the next stanza or two, that even the sinners, even the animals, they have attained the supreme abode by practicing this love. So that is what we will see in the stanza number 11. So we can look at the stanza 11. Pashvadayopi bhakteiva, pashvadayopi bhakteiva, prapnuvan paramam padam, prapnuvan paramam padam, katha bhagavati chatra, katha bhagavati chatra, pramanam hina samshayaha, pramanam hina samshayaha. He says, pashu adaya api. Pashu means animals. Even the animals, etc., even they, bhaktya eva, by devotion alone. Eva means alone. By devotion alone, even they attain. Prapnuvan. Prapnuvans mean they attain. I think it has attached in the book, but it means attain. They have attained the supreme abode, supreme love. So, what is the proof? He says, Bhagavati Katha. He says, the story of the Lord. It is given in the epics. We have epic called Ramayana and the Bhagavat. From in those, there are a lot of stories about different birds who attained highest abode because they love the Lord. So by loving the Lord all the time, they even attained the highest. So even doesn't have to be any skill, even the birds who are mentally not that, you know, that intellect, their intellect is not that sharp, even they attained the highest abode, supreme abode, through devotion alone. And he says, what is the pramanam hi na samshaya? And that is the pramanam, that is the proof. Proof, what is the proof? The scriptures are the proof. Scriptures are saying, because scriptures are the one which is the proof for this knowledge, for this thing. So he said, without any doubt, samshaya, na samshaya, there is no doubt about it, because they are the authority, they are the one. It's like if I want to see some color, eyes are the best, you know, proof. You cannot see the color with the ears, right? The same way, for knowing Lord, this is the proof. the scriptures are the proof. So that's why they say always that you have to have faith in the scriptures. That is very, very important. So he says, even these animals, they have attained the supreme love. Bhakti, bhakti, what is bhakti? Bhakti is the supreme love for God. See, we have, all of us have this in us. It is inherent, it is the capital that we all have. But we are putting it in different, in the wrong, you know, it's like an investment. You do investment in the wrong places. So we do it in the worldly thing. You know, we do it in our, you know, they say when you do love in the world, we say, no, he fall in love. He fell in love. This love makes you rise when you love the Lord. It makes you rise. If you don't fall in love, you rise in love when you love the Lord. So he says, we have all loved someone or have in turn been loved by someone. So we all have it. It's just, even the infant, you know, when you see the baby, I used to wonder, baby doesn't even talk, baby doesn't even say anything. Why do we feel so good in their presence? Because of that love, because that love in ours and that, because there is no ego between the baby and us, because the baby doesn't have any ego. So, and this love is such that the more you give, the more you get, or it increases. It is not something like I spend, then it will get less. The more I give, the more I get. So this is another good nature of love. And whereas in the other path, like we saw, a lot of other, you know, things are required. But in this love, there is no. So there is a story in Ramayana about this tribal woman. Even that tribal woman who was just an ordinary woman, and she used to live near this ashram. Ashram is like, you know, people used to go to a guru and get the knowledge of the scriptures. So they will go there and stay in the ashram. And then this woman wanted to hear what they are doing there. So she would go and listen to the guru, but you know, they were not allowed in the ashram in those days. But she will go and she will start cleaning the ashram, and then this guru saw that, you know, that the ashram has been cleaned. Who has been cleaning that? So then someone said, oh yeah, that woman, she comes here and she cleans it. He said, call her. And then she came and he hired her. He said that you can stay and listen to the scripture, and you can stay in the ashram and clean it. So when that guru, he was almost, you know, at the end of his physical body, he told her that the Lord will himself will come. You keep this devotion for the Lord, he will come and liberate you from this samsara, from this world. So she, every day, she used to pick the flowers, or pick the berries, actually, that's what they say. She used to pick the berries and she'll taste it and she will collect them. And she, every day she thinks that, oh, today the Lord will come and eat my fruit. Today the Lord will come and eat my fruit. Every day, every time. And she was, so one day it happens, Lord Rama, who was there, so he goes there and he tasted the berries, the one, and then his brother was with him. He said, wow, these berries are all, you know, she has already bitten on them. He says, no, it's the love, that with what love she has given it to me. He couldn't put it, he took that berries, he ate those berries, and he also gave her, after that, he gave her 9 modes of devotion, that what are the different kinds of love, or by doing that, that one can attain liberation, and she attained liberation. So like that, there are a lot of stories about the bird on who saved Sitaji, you know, who was Ram's wife. He saved her, or tried to save her, and in that process he get killed, and then Lord Rama, he comes and he, you know, liberates him also, and he tells him where his wife has gone. So just the devotion. thinking about these gopis. I don't know if you have heard about Lord Krishna. He used to live in Vrindavan, and then there is there are a lot of these gopis. They used to love him. They always wanted to be with him. Anything they are doing in the house, they're always thinking of him. So the idea is think of the Lord all the time in whatever thing we are doing. So this one lady said, if Yashoda was the mother of Lord Krishna. So he says, she was taking care of Lord Krishna. How come you consider her as like her love as devotion? And we love our children too. We love our children, we feed them, we take care of them. What is the difference? Why our love is criticized, or it is not as appreciated or as higher than the love of? So the Lord says, the Swamiji says that, the love that Yashoda had for the Lord was, you have the same love, but she was directly loving the Lord. It's like, if you know or you don't know, the fire, you put your hand, it will get burnt, right? Whether you know it's fire or not fire, you put your hand, it will get burnt. If you put your hand in the ice, it will be cold, because that is the nature of the. The same way, the Lord's nature is compassion. The Lord's nature is grace. If you love him knowingly or unknowingly, he will bless you with a lot of love. So this is, and your love is going to increase as you do that. So anything, he says, you can also do it. But when you are loving your children, think of them, superimpose on that this is the Lord that I am, or there is Lord in them. I'm doing every work that during the day we are doing. If we think of it as I'm doing it for the Lord, that work becomes higher. It becomes, and it makes your mind pure, and it makes your, it makes it more, or you develop more love for the Lord. It will increase your love for the Lord. So because as your mind is getting purified, as your mind is, I'm sure you did the book called Mana Shodhanam. I think that's why we did that book first, because that is very important. Your mind has to be pure. Pure mind means it should not have a lot of these negativity, hatred, and all those qualities, that jealousy, all that qualities should not be there. The more you get rid of them, the more your mind will be pure. That pure mind will then can think of the Lord more, can think of, and then knowledge also will take place in the pure mind. Otherwise, you can listen to all the things and it will just go away. So he says it's very, very important. So those who consider the Lord and love the Lord with full devotion, their devotion increases. So he is also, he said, Bhagwan is like, Bhagwan, when I'm saying he's the Lord, he is a sweet. There is a song we sing in our scriptures. It says, he is the Lord of all sweetness, is nothing but sweet. His walking is sweet, his talking is sweet, his feet, they are sweet, his hands, they are sweet. Everything about him is sweet. If you remember like that, it just makes you feel good. So that is what he says. So Lord, so this is what the nature of love is. Nature of love is like that. And how do I measure my love that I have for the Lord? How do we measure? Somebody asked. So he says, you can measure the love depends on your identification for the object of love, for whom you are loving, for the object of love, and how much you are willing to sacrifice for it. It depends on that. Are you willing to sacrifice anything and everything for that, Lord? Then yes, you are. and also your total identification with the Lord. You know, it's like when two people love each other, how they start thinking like each other. Like, you know, they become one with each other. Like, oh, you know, so that is what he says. But why should I love God? What is it? Why? Who is he? So he said, you love God because he is the, they say, Ishvara Sarva Bhutana. He is the self of all. He is all. He is everywhere. He is in everyone. So when you see a person, if you start loving everyone looking like that, then your love, then means that is a supreme devotion for the Lord. That is a supreme devotion for love. They say love for all beings is manifested as the supreme devotion for the Lord, supreme love. And then we already saw the quality. There are no qualification needed in this one. In the qualification for the law, for the this path of devotion, is there is no, everyone is welcome. It's like an open house, you know. Any no, you can, anybody can go. So because it is qualified, everybody, even the, like I said, the birds, the you know, people who are not that, in the ordinary people, you don't have to be illiterate, you don't have to be literate, you can be illiterate, you know. So it doesn't, because everybody understand the language of love. When you know, two people speak different languages, how we say love is the language that we understand, right? So the same way, you know, that there is no language needed even in love. So that is what this paragraph is saying. Even people who think of Lord even with hatred, with fear, even they get liberated, you know. And that is what is given in the next stanza. That the scriptures, they are going even further, and they say even with desire, even with fear, with hatred, enmity, if you remember Lord, even still he's so kind, he will still liberate you. So that is what is given. So we can look in the stanza number 12. He says, Kama dvesha bhaya dvapi, Kama dvesha bhaya dvapi, Vaira bhavena sarvada, Vaira bhavena sarvada, Yesmaranti chatam devam, ये स्मरन्ति च तं देवं ते पीयान्ति परां गतिं ते पीयान्ति परां गतिं. He says ये means those, sarvada means always, constantly, without any break, tam devam, that Lord, smaranti means when they remember that Lord constantly, from what? Kamad means from passion. Dveshad means from hatred. Bhayat means from fear. Vairabhaven means enmity. He is my enemy, you know, with enemy, like we have enmity towards somebody. And with enmity cha, te api also paramgatim, supreme goal, they attain that supreme goal. Yanti means they attain, even those people, those who constantly remember the Lord, even out of passion, out of hatred, out of fear, enmity, and they too attain the Supreme Lord. So even, you know, if there is a story of this Shishupala, it comes in our Bhagavad, you know, and that Lord, he used to hate Lord Krishna. And he used to call him, he had an enmity towards him because his wife with whom he was going to get married, she loved Lord Krishna. So he had a lot of enmity against Lord Krishna. So he used to speak all the time bad about him. He says, he will call him names all the time. It's like all the time. And even he attained liberation because he fought with him, and that's when he So whenever you get killed, even through his hand, through the hand of Lord, you get liberation. The same way with Ravana. I don't know if you have heard of story of Rama, and he fought with the demon called Ravana, who was very powerful. And he was so, you know, so powerful, he thought of himself that, oh, I own everything, I'm better than the Lord. So he got arrogant. And he started ruling everybody. And so he said that to take care of that, then Lord comes in the incarnation of as Rama, and then he goes and kills him at the end. And then again, he also attained liberation. Same thing with Kamsa. He was also like maternal uncle of Lord Krishna. And he heard this voice from the heaven that, you know, the eighth child of your sister's, you know, your sister's eighth child will kill you. So he was all the time afraid of, when my sister's eighth child will be born and he will come and kill me. So he actually put his sister in the jail. That's the story. That's how it comes. And then when the eighth child was done, the Lord plays such a game. He switched the child, and that person who thought that this he killed that child was not actually killed. It was saved by, you know, Lord. So this is how Lord plays. And then he was all the time afraid. Lord Krishna will come and kill me. He will come and kill me. All the time sitting, eating. All the time he was thinking out of fear. But all the time he was thinking about the Lord. So he also attained liberation. He had a fight with him and then he killed him. So this is how all the time he says, because they are at least thinking of me. Most of the people don't even think about me. You know, so he said, at least they are thinking of me all the time. So Lord says, whenever somebody thinks of me, I bless them. So whether it is outer, but how would it be nice to think of him not with this fear, with enmity? How would it be so nice to think of it with love? Wouldn't that be nice more? Then the path itself becomes so good and better. Rather than, so they were all blessed. So this is the beauty of the path of devotion, the greatness of the Lord, you know. So the one who remembers, knowing or unknowing, that whether he is loving the Lord or not or whatever, even if these people were, you know, but he still blesses them. It's like, you know, they say sugar, whether you know it is sugar or not, if you put it in the mouth, it will taste sweet. Is the same way with the Lord. Whether you know his Lord or not, but you love him, it will. His compassion, his grace of the Lord, he will bless us. And also they say love is highest. The four Purusharta, you must have studied that in the class, that man always engage in four Purusharta, either Artha, Dharma, Artha, Kama and Moksha. These are the four Purushartha. That Purushartha means you engage yourself in the action. So Dharma is you collect lot of merits. You know, you do good deeds and you collect lot of merits so I can go to higher worlds. And Artha is you collect security. So you work, you collect wealth, you collect, you know, things to be secure. So I am secure. And then Kama is more like a progeny and comforts. We do all the comforts all the time. So most of the time people are busy doing all these three. Very few are, you know, in the moksha. Moksha means desire for liberation. I want to be liberated. I realize this, what I'm looking in the world is not what I want. I want to be liberated from this limitation. This was not giving me happiness. I thought these things will give me happiness, but they don't. So then you go for liberation. So this path of love, path of devotion, they say is even higher than that. So it's like icing on the cake. That's how it is. It's beautiful, actually. Anybody wants to discuss anything?
Social past, you have no ability to love, or no, you do not have the ability to feel emotion.
No, the love, they say you can even make the people who hate you, with love you can win them. Everybody wants to. Why they are hating? I think they are hating because they are not being loved. Most of the people who are bad, they are not being loved. That is for sure. I think. But yeah, you are right. You have to protect yourself. You cannot keep your enemy in your house. No. No, you do have to protect yourself. Does that answer your question? Everybody, even this love that I was talking about, they do that with, at least it's a form of love, it's an averted love, you know, it's called that, it is, you know, it's love only, but it is averted love, it's a low, but it is, so you're thinking of him all the time. I know if that answers. And then too much love, like you said, that spoils the dad, spoils the children, that is true too. You know, too much love. You keep giving them whatever they need, you know. So that there you have to be firm also and also loving. Loving at the same time. You know what is good for them. They don't know. They want everything. But they don't have the discrimination what is good for them. So this is, as a parent, our duty to. Yeah, some people do love their children too much, they get, then they want whatever they want, they get it, no. No, love, yeah, love is not giving whatever you want. Yeah, it's not easy. You know, in our scriptures, they say, you know, the child, when he's from 1 to 5, you treat them as God. You know, you love them completely. And after 5 to 13, 12, 13, you discipline them. Really. Because that's when they need to be disciplined. You cannot start disciplining at age 13, no. 13 onward, then they are your friend. You treat them like your friend. That is how they tell us to do it. But, you know, I think it works. Yeah, it is. Yeah. That's our Guruji, he tells us. You know, we all, as a, you know, parent, most of the people ask the question about how to raise kids, how to, you know, because kids here don't listen to us and this and that. So he answers like that. So he says, you know, that until age 5, give them, because that's when they are looking for security. You know, when the child at that age, they, you know, they need all this, the love that they can get, then I think they. That is hard. You cannot see your child going in the wrong. It is hard. You can only do your best. Yeah. Then pray. Leave the rest to the Lord. Pray for him. Oh Lord, you know, that's what they say. When you pray to the Lord, ask, don't ask for things, ask for his devotion. Please give me so much devotion for you. Sit up straight. Your head and neck and your back straight in one line. That is very important. It keeps you alert. Because it's very important to be alert during meditation. Your hands can be folded in the lap or on your knees, whichever is comfortable. Meditation is to remove the erroneous notion we have about ourselves and about the world. We misunderstand that I am this finite individual and the world is real. But our scriptures says that you are infinite, you are all pervading, you are not this finite little individual. So meditation is to assert this all-pervading Brahman nature of mind. So when you now for be aware of your body, and your breath, and be alert and don't fall asleep, and watch for the next few minutes, just watch your body, be aware of it. Not the body, I am the knower of the body. I am not the seen, I am the seer. I am the seer. The gender, the color, they all belong to the body. I am not male, I am not female, they all belong to the body. All the relations, the husband, wife, brother, sister, father, mother, they all belong to the body. Once I know I am not the body, all the attributes of the body go away. And that itself releases us from so many attributes of the body. Whatever is happening in the body is not happening to me. Body is always changing. I am changeless. We have to assert these in meditation. I am not the body, I am the Infinite Self. I am the changeless. So if any change is happening, it's happening in the body, not in me. Body is in one place at one time, whereas I, the Self, is all pervading, and there is no time, there is no space. It's all pervading. शांति 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 हरि ओम शिवभ्यो नमः. Open your eyes slowly. And keep asserting the thought, I am not this body. I am an observer, not the observed. Observer is different than the observed.